On today's episode of the podcast, I talk about the fact that this is my very first week recording the show as a proper stay-at-home mom. Dennis has started working full-time and our routines and schedules have changed a lot. And I found myself in this past week doing this parenting thing on my own for most of the day, stepping back and looking around and almost wondering, when is someone going to step in here and help me a little bit? And as I speak to you today, I realize that that's also how I feel about the state of the world, how I'm waiting for someone to step in and make a change and keep everyone safe and help us all find that place of compassion in our hearts for peace and for violence to end. It's a hard time to human right now, but we are all doing the best we can. I also talk about how to stay grounded and how to meet ourselves in the energy we're in, whether that's a sense of hopelessness or despair or anxiety, and how probably the answer to what are we going to do now isn't to sit down and meditate, although that could be a part of it too. Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I am faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too-good-to-be-true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Let's jump in. All right. Hi, everyone. Hello. It's time for a brand new episode of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. I'm Rachel Braithen. You know me already. I'm sitting here right now having a moment that I think is going to be one of those moments that I'm going to have every single week from now on. I'm in a little bit of like a milestone moment here. This is my first podcast recording as a proper stay-at-home mom, doing the stay-at-home mom thing. And it's stressful. If you listen to this show, you know that Dennis has been looking for a job for a really long time. Since we moved to Sweden, which is now 2 years, he's had some jobs here and there, and we have passive incomes in certain ways, but essentially for 2 years, he's been out of a job. And it's been really hard, and he's been really depressed about it. It's been kind of a major struggle for us in the family and financially and between the two of us, and it's been a big thing. And for all this time, I mean, really since I was pregnant, I have been wanting and wishing for the moment when he has like a proper job with a regular routine and we have regular schedules and I get to just be a stay-at-home mom and do the thing where I am just home. And I've been waiting for this and praying for this and hoping for this. And now it happened. Dennis has a full-time job now. He actually has 2 jobs. He's starting a business on his own and he's employed at the same time. So he's all of a sudden very, very busy. And it's the kind of busyness I've been wanting him to have. We've been really, really longing for this.
And this week is the first time where we have a regular schedule going. If you follow me on social media, you probably see that, like, as a family, we spend almost all day together all the time, which is a dream and beautiful, but it's also been really, really hard, you know, work-wise and struggling in this one area. It's been awesome to have Dennis here, especially for the first months of this newborn and this baby and this new time. But at the same time, I've just seen in him this massive need to have a big sense of purpose, to be out there in the world, to not be here stuck on the farm with me all day. We're very different in our energies in that way. I'm really content being just on the farm, in nature, all by myself. I'm really, really good with that. He's not. He's a social person. He has a much bigger need for community and interaction and to have that social interaction every day. And he hasn't had that for so long until now. And he started Monday morning. So I'm recording this on a Wednesday. This is day three. And where he just like got up in the morning, we got Leia ready for school. And then he made himself a cup of coffee and left. And this is regular, normal life. Like, this is how we've done things for most of our lives. You know, like, he went living in Aruba, we would have breakfast or coffee and then he would go. And I would do my thing in my own way, kind of thing, float in and out of whatever work I was doing. But he would really be at the studio every day and he was busy all the time every day. And for 2 years, it hasn't been like that. For 2 years, we have had really slow mornings, you know, getting Leia to school, taking our time, sitting at the breakfast table for like an hour together, talking about our day, and last few months really sharing the responsibilities of the baby. He's been with the baby in the morning, like, he takes Finn for the first nap. I get a moment to work out or move and take my dip for the day. Like, we have had this very, very, we're just spending time together all day. And it's been hard and great at the same time. And now we're living this normal life where he goes to work and I'm a stay-at-home mom and he just leaves. And I thought that this is going to be so amazing. This is going to be the best thing. And it's good. But I'm also like, wait, what? wait, I'm all alone. I'm all alone now. Wait a minute. Like, right away, I was like, what about my window in the morning? What about me, like, doing my yoga and taking my dip? How am I gonna do that? And Dennis is like, you've been begging me, like, pushing me, fighting for me to get a job, to get out of the house, and now I'm doing that. You can't complain now. Like, you can't go back on your word. Like, this is what we've been waiting for so long. And I'm like, I know, but. So this is day three of, and I know this is, I've been super spoiled having Dennis home. You know, I know this week is more of a regular newborn, you know, stay-at-home mom kind of deal. But this is really my first time sitting down to record where I'm like a little bit stressed about it. The baby, Finn, he doesn't sleep. We don't have a routine yet. We have a little bit more, you know, we have longer naps now. We have a little bit more steadiness around sleep. Sleep is much better. I can give you an update if you want it. But it's not like, oh, he sleeps from this time to that time and that's when I'm going to do the podcast. No. And today is my last day that I'm able to record and I'm all day kind of stressed about how am I going to make this work? And Leia comes home at 1 every day. So I'm alone with both of them for most of the day, which means even if Finn sleeps, I can't go and, you know, lock myself in a room for 2 hours like I'm with Leia, you know? So I just put him down. He fell asleep and I ran down and I'm like, I'm going to do my first stay-at-home mom podcast. And it feels equally amazing and daunting and challenging and scary somehow. I don't know. Like, I'm really happy I'm here talking to you right now. But just, it's scary. I just realized there is a lot of things in my day-to-day that I do and get done, obviously thanks to Dennis being here. Thanks to us sharing the work around the house. Thanks to us sharing cleaning and laundry and babies and Leia. Like, we share that. And for 2 years, I have had the luxury of the routine of having a partner there pretty much all the time. Someone I can lean on. Someone I can say, hey, I got to do the podcast. Is that okay? I jump in over here and I just go do it, right? And now I really feel like this is the beginning of a different kind of chapter in our lives. Hopefully the beginning of a happier husband, which is the most important thing. Truly is. I really want him on the show because it's been so long since you guys had an update from Dennis. And I think he's been reluctant to come on the show because he's been so very low. But now that things are all of a sudden, he has a flow, he has things going for him. He's out there very excited, doing really cool things. So he's a lot happier overall. I think he would be happy to come on the pod. But the question then remains is who's going to watch the babies? The two kiddos. So I don't know if we're going to make that happen.
Do scents evoke memories and transport you back to being on the beach during your favorite vacation? I know they do for me. Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil smells like summer or the beach in Aruba, bottled with all natural uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. But it's not just about the elevated scent. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft. It delivers that coveted post-vacation glow, like you just returned from a tropical getaway. And right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. I love Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I use it every single day and I have for so many years. It makes me feel silky smooth and just glowing. This body oil is rich but never greasy and clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It visibly firms your skin, leaving you more sculpted and toned. No wonder I feel so great after using it. But it gets even better. With Osea, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Osea's products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. They are a women-founded company that has been making seaweed-infused skincare for over 28 years. So bring on summer. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skin and body care at Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off.
All of a sudden, I have felt a little bit lonely. It's been 3 days and I felt a little bit lonely. I felt like all of a sudden I'm on my own. I don't know if anyone ever has this feeling, but sometimes I find myself in situations in my day-to-day life where I kind of want to turn around and I'm like, well, where's my mom? Like, where are my parents? Like, who's going to step in here and help me? Or who's going to step in here and do this for me? Or who's going to step in here and like tell me what to do now? Do you guys ever have that where you're all of a sudden you feel really small and really young and you're just waiting for a parent or an authority of some sort to just take over? I don't know if you can recognize this feeling at all, but I have had that feeling quite a bit over this past week, but for a little while, where I feel a little bit overwhelmed by something, where I'm juggling stuff with two kids, where I don't know, like we're getting in the car and it's frenzied and I can't figure out how to put the stroller together because Dennis does that and now I do it on my own. Like I have never collapsed our stroller. Like I don't know how to do that. I hold a baby, Dennis does that. And I've never had to do it by myself. And I'm like, how does one do that with one hand? Well, the stroller we have, you don't. Like at least the bassinet, I'm sure there's a way when the baby's a little bit bigger, but this version of the stroller, you need two hands to lift the bassinet out of the base of the stroller and then collapse like the stroller together and then put it in the car. You can't do that shit with one hand. You need two hands for that, which means you have to put a crying baby on the floor. And I'm outside and I'm on the porch and like, so we had to go I had to go get a new passport. We're traveling soon. My passport is almost expiring. I have to go get a new passport. And this has been a thing. And I went. It's so hard for us to go, all of us, especially now that Dennis has no time. It's really hard for us to get to a place like that. And I make the appointment, which is at the police station. And we go and we get there 6 minutes late. 6 minutes, mind you. 6 minutes. And I go to check in, like a little computer, you check in and they're like, your time has expired. Please make a new appointment. And I'm like, no. I like put my 3.5 month old in the stroller I mean, in the car, cries the whole way. Like, he hates the car. It's so stressful. He cries less now, but it's still a lot of crying. With my six-year-old there, and I had my mom there, and Dennis, and we're hustling to get there, and we live 40 minutes away. You know, we really, it's a thing. And then we get there 6 minutes late, and I lose the time. Like, I cried in front of this police woman, and she was like, sorry, like, this is the system. If I let you through now, it messes up the rest of the day for everybody else. Like, you would be the reason why everybody else is late. And I understand, and this is very Swedish, very, very, very Swedish. And I appreciate this part of Sweden where normally, you know, if I was just on time, I would have had my window. If it says 2:20 is your appointment begins at 2:20. It doesn't begin at 2:15. It doesn't begin at 2:30 or any time after. It begins at 2:20. And they process you and do the thing so quickly, so efficiently. Like, if it's one thing we are as Swedes, it's efficient. And then you're out of there in 5 minutes. You have a new passport, like, coming your way. But this time, you know, I'm like, please, please show me some humanity here. Like, please. Like, and I was just really crying. And she said, no, no, no. Like, there's no way. There's no window open here at all. And yeah, we had to just go back home and then do it another time. And then Dennis was stressed because he said, you have to do this next week now. And I'm going to be working. So you're going to have to figure it out. And I'm like, alone with Leia and Finn, trying to figure the damn stroller out, trying to pack the diaper bag, realizing Leia needs a snack. She's hungry. Did she drink water today? You know, she needs to, like, change from school clothes. And what do we need to pack? And what do I need to do? And I forgot to have lunch and a million things, like, just spinning. And then I can't get the stroller to get in the car. And I had one of those moments where, like, can someone just, like, I look around, I'm like, someone please do it now. Like, okay, I'm just, this adulting moment is too much for me. Can someone do it? Thank you. But there's nobody there. Oh, I'm the grown up. Right. I'm the adult. I'm the parent. I'm the one figuring out the crying baby and the six-year-old and the stroller and the rush to do the thing I have to do. This is all me. Like, this is, there's no one here that's going to help me or tell me what to do or figure this out for me. And it's like, okay, deep breath and just get it done, right? And I can laugh because obviously this is, like, minor stuff, you know, small things in our day. But it's funny how, I don't know, I just, how did I become an adult? I can't be the only one who thinks about this at times. Like, I just, there's a part of me that feels like I'm always going to be, there's definitely a part of me that feels like I'm always going to be 20. Like, that's my default age. But then there's always a part of me that feels like I'm also kind of just, like, 12 years old. Like, that kind of, like, preteen vibe. I'm there where I can adult if I want to. Like, I can be mature. I know how to say the right thing. I know how to figure stuff out, but I'm also just a kid. So I can kind of float between being a child and being a grown up, like, that age-ish. And I feel like 12 was really that for me. I mean, when I was 12, I was smoking a pack of cigarettes a day and getting drunk. But that's a story for another day, I guess. But yeah, so this is just what it is now. And of course, I know we're going to find our groove. Like, I know that. I told Dennis today, just, I realized Leia has ballet. I mean, this is all just mundane stuff, but normally we figure it out together and we make it work. And now I have to figure it out on my own. And I think I need a little bit of a transition time here to make this work because I have 6 podcasts a week that I still record, even though I am home with the baby. Like, I still do that. I still have certain things and commitments and things that I need to get to, but I've taken that for granted and it doesn't feel like work because it's effortless most of the time. And now it's not effortless anymore. Now I need to schedule it. I need to really figure these things out. I told Dennis today, like, we need to sit down and actually go over the week, all of Leia's activities, the things that I need to get done, like, what are the windows where maybe, you know, you need to leave for work an hour later so I can get to what I need to get to. We're going to figure this out. But I just feel like this was just a big moment. And isn't it funny how sometimes the things you wish for and the things you long for, and then they come and you're like, wait, what? I'm doing this on my own now. I'm the parent. I'm the mom. Okay, fine. I'll get there. I definitely am having a Yeah, I'm having a parenting week where I feel like a novice. I feel like I am brand new. I feel like I am doubting myself a bit or a lot. I don't know. I'm also having a week the way you're having a week where there's just despair inside at all moments of the day. I don't know how much I want to talk about this because I know no matter what you say in these times, it's the wrong thing. That's really how I feel. Stepping aside now from my family stuff and into the world. Whatever you say about the state of the world right now, whatever you say about the conflict between Israel and Palestine, it's the wrong thing. Calling it Israel upsets people. Saying it's a conflict upsets people. Calling it war upsets people. Calling it genocide upsets people. Calling it anything upsets people. I have a really hard time phrasing it, and so I'm not going to, but instead I'll just share what I think so many of us are feeling, which is this undercurrent throughout my day, this undercurrent of absolute hopelessness. And I think that's also why I feel overwhelmed by simple tasks right now. I feel a little bit burnt out by just by watching the news, burnt out by watching awful things on my phone. I think you are too. If you're on the internet, you're probably burnt out by just pain. And at the same time, we have a responsibility to actually know, to not put our head in the sand and say, this doesn't concern me because I'm not there. I think we've been doing that for a really, really long time, kind of pretending like this is not an issue. It doesn't affect me. So leave it for other people until it gets very critical the way it became now. And we have a responsibility to educate ourselves and to know, but there's a limit. And I really feel like for me, I have crossed that limit for myself just because I haven't had, I just haven't been able to look away. So all throughout my day, whether it's I'm putting Finn down for a nap or picking up Leia from the bus or making snack or doing the mom things that I do in my very uncomplicated life, in my very beautiful life, in my very safe life, in this life that I don't take for granted. I truly don't. I think about it every moment of the day, how grateful I am that I have this. But in all of that, in all those mundane things, there is this undercurrent of just a fear, of sadness, of grief. And it's a complicated grief because, yeah, it's not my grief, but it's also very much mine, the way it's all of ours. I think when you become a mother, when you become a parent, especially as a mother, you all of a sudden become a mother to all children. At least I feel that way. I know I'm a bit of an empath, but I really, really, really feel that way. If there was a way for me to scoop up these children right now and bring them home and keep them safe, I would. You know, I really would. And I think most mothers feel that way. And that feeling of, as we are going about our day and doing our regular stuff, kind of pretending like everything is normal, we know at all times things are not normal. We know at all times the violence and the pain and the loss is so profound, and it's ongoing, and it's continues to, and it's not stopping. I just every moment of the day I shift between this feeling of thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful we're safe. I'm so grateful for my babies. I'm just really appreciating the normalcy of my life, knowing so many people don't have that. And then I shift to just make it stop. And knowing that there's nothing I can do, knowing there's nothing most of us can do. And how bizarre is that? Because we know as humanity, as a large group of people, we have power. We're supposed to have power. We're supposed to be able to impact like these sorts of things. We should. Like at some point, like we, in most countries anyway, elect the leaders of the countries we live in democracies. And I feel like I don't know, maybe that's the feeling. I'm looking around like, who can someone step in here now? Like, can someone make this stop? And I don't know who I'm talking to. Am I talking to the UN? Are we talking to prime ministers and presidents and governments? Like, who are we talking to? Can you make it stop? Please, please now. Yeah, that's funny that I made that parallel just between parenting in my day to day, when actually that's how I feel about life. Yeah, it's not that I don't know how to put the stroller in the car and that's causing me a major moment of anxiety and overwhelm. I'm actually a very capable person and I can figure most things out on my own, and I have for most of my life. Like, that's not a big thing, but I really have this week experienced that feeling of overwhelm and, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Even though it's simple stuff. And I am realizing now as I'm telling you this, that it's because that's how I feel about my place in the whole world in this moment. Like, I'm just really waiting for a mom and a dad to step in and just fix things. Can someone step in and make everybody safe, please? Can someone step in and stop the violence, please? Can someone come in and fix this? And there's nobody there. Not only is there nobody there, but there's nobody to even look for. And we know, you know, secondary trauma is a thing. It's not the same as trauma, obviously not. Obviously, any anxiety or feeling of overwhelm from afar, sitting in our safe places, watching this on our phones that we can turn off at any moment. We can put that away at any moment. We can step into another reality any moment. And it's not even our reality. We can tune that out if we choose to. Obviously, that does not in any shape or form even remotely begin to compare to what it's like to actually live that, or what it's like to live that in connection or adjacent, right? If you are Jewish or Palestinian, or you have Jewish and Palestinian friends or family, or, you know, it's like the waves of pain. It's just, there's the epicenter of it, and then it ripples out into the world. And many of us are intertwined, and it's someplace in between. Many of us are outside looking in, don't relate at all. I don't have Palestinian people in my life. I have Jewish friends and Jewish people in my life. I went to school. There were Palestinian people in my school, school friends growing up, but long ago. But and right now it's like, it doesn't matter. I hope I'm not offending anyone by saying that, although I probably am. It doesn't matter, because for me anyway, the way I'm experiencing this, it's not like here's this one side and here's this one side and who's in the right and who's in the wrong, who's more wrong. Like, it's all wrong. It's all fucked. It's all wrong. What happened the first weekend of October was so, so wrong. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about those children looking for their moms. Like, I can't. And it's also that feeling of like, maybe it turns out okay. Maybe they get to go home. It's this suspension, right, of that traumatic event. Like, it's just ongoing. And then it's this never-ending violence toward the people of Palestine, who are not the same as Hamas. They're not. And even though I think most of us understand and know that, it's not talked about in that way. I shift between when I watch the news. I watch news. I watch Israeli news. I watch Palestinian news. I watch the world news, especially on social media. I try to really, because I want to see how people are talking about the same things in such different ways. And it's just, it's all terror. It's all wrong. It's all violence. It's all death. It's all wrong. And somehow in the midst of all this wrong and of all this violence are the children. And it shouldn't matter if they're Israeli children or Palestinian children or Syrian children or Ukrainian children or Swedish children. Like, it should not matter. They're children. They're children of this world. Like, they're all our children. And it's just really, really hard to move through our day knowing that this is ongoing and happening every moment, every minute, and nothing is being done to make it stop. It's really, Yeah. And I think this week, I think we're all, and when I say we're all, I'm talking to you listening to this pod, right? Which means you're in a space where I think I said that last week. Like, if we're listening to this podcast, we're in a safe place, obviously. So when I say you all, I'm referring to all of us on the outside here in our safe spaces. I think we're all moving through this week feeling this burden. And if we don't, if we're moving through this week feeling nothing, I think we're either shut off or in denial. I think really it's impossible to know that this is happening and to watch it unfold and to not be majorly impacted.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's this almost automatic feeling of, okay, well, I don't know if you feel the same way, but when I do something that's really dedicated to just, okay, I need to do something for my well-being, it's really hard for me to get there when there is some, when there's real despair in the world, when there's something really urgent, really, when disaster happens like this, it's really, really, really hard. I just find myself not doing the thing. And it's not until after, when I reflect on my day, that I realize, oh, like I didn't roll out my yoga mat today. I actually didn't do that. I didn't sit with tea. I didn't move my body. And then I realized yesterday in the evening when I went to bed, I was like, I didn't dip this week. I didn't go for my cold dip, which sounds maybe silly and small, but that is my one big non-negotiable thing for self-care that I do every single day, no matter what. And I was telling myself, well, it's because Dennis is not here, so it's harder for me to get to. But no, actually, the baby sleeps really well. Finn sleeps, like he can sleep for an hour, he can sleep for 2 hours. Today he had a nap that was like an hour and 40, and then another nap that was 2.5 hours long. That's plenty time for me to roll out my mat. That's plenty time for me to roll out my mat and do my yoga practice and work out and sit in tea ceremony and sneak down to the lake and go for my dip if I wanted. Like, I could have done all those things. But every day this week, I find myself not doing the thing. And what have I done instead? Well, I'm either on my phone frantically scrolling. Dennis keeps telling me, like, please, please put it away. Like, please stop. Please stop. It's easier for him to, like he can have his designated moment. Okay, he has a news app that he watches the Dutch news. He has a Dutch news app. That's how he gets all his information. He really trusts this one news outlet. It's called NOS, if any Dutch people are listening. Like, that's, I don't know why, that's just his thing. I mean, I guess we're all like that. Like, some people trust the New York Times a lot, and some people watch Fox News. I don't know. We're all, you know, we have our trusted outlets. Anyway, he's better at that than me. So he will be on that app. He reads all the articles or watches videos, and there's podcasts on there too. He kind of just gets his information and then he puts that information away, where I'm more like, okay, I go down this rabbit hole. Okay, well, now this happened and then that happened. And then this person is saying that thing about that. And then, especially on social media, especially on Instagram, I find myself following people because I want information. But then all of a sudden I pick up my phone just to do something else or to post something on Instagram. And then there are dead children in my feed. That's been happening so many times throughout the day. I've had to kind of put some people on mute where they don't show up in my feed, and I just have to make the conscious effort to go there. And here's one thing that I think is so important that we all hear, is that we don't have to see videos or photos of violated people or slaughtered people or murdered people or children to be able to feel compassion. We don't have to put those images in our brains to understand that they are happening. And chances are, for most of us, we shouldn't be doing that to ourselves. It's our responsibility to be informed, to learn, to understand, but we don't have to expose ourselves to that secondhand trauma, because that's what that is. It is secondhand trauma or third-hand trauma. And I don't, if anything comes up and it has that little warning, you know, sensitive images, I scroll right by. I don't click on that. But sometimes when these things are happening, it just comes up. And then for the rest of the day, that I can't unsee that, right? I can't see anything else. And what I find myself doing is not going to my yoga mat, you know, not going to something grounding and calming, because I'm in a frazzled state. You know, and it's so true. When we are in a state of just this activated, dysregulated place, which is what happens to me when I see images like that, it's just, I can barely keep this conversation going right now, just knowing that that's there. So instead, I reach for something else, right? And what have I been reaching for this week? I've been reaching for like cleaning. I get this idea. I have to clean. I have to organize. I'm really upset that the house is messy all the time. And I go to clean something. And then along the way, I find something else. And then I go into another room. And then I remember I forgot that thing. And then I was repotting that plant. And then, oh shit, but I was also like making lunch. And then I find myself just kind of frantically going from room to room, from thing to thing, from place to place, but I'm not getting anything done. I'm not, you know, being efficient or actually completing the tasks that I start. I'm just like fluttering around in this little frenzy of not being able to be still. And it's because of this, of course. And I know what I need is, well, what I need right now is not sitting down with tea. Like, that's a really nice thing and it sounds beautiful. And maybe sit down and meditate. Like, if you're dysregulated, like, just sit down. Sometimes we have to meet ourselves at that vibration to be able to bring ourselves down. And I think that's important that we understand that about ourselves and how our own nervous systems work. So in these moments, what I need is I need to scream. I don't know if anyone listening has a practice like that. I call it the sacred scream. I have a class on it on yogagirl.com. If anyone, you can join it's the home course that I did there. This big, big, big course for connection with nature and ourselves. I have classes there on sacred screaming. I need to shake, literally to do a shaking meditation, to shake that energy out of my system. I need to do a dynamic meditation where I get to really go into an emotional release or some form of like angry dancing. Have you ever done anger dancing? Like just like an anger release. I have playlists on Spotify. If you search Yoga Girl on Spotify, you find all my playlists. I have playlists for different emotions and I have an anger release playlist there. And it's good music. Like it's music you want to just like rage to. I mean, that's really what I think a lot of us need is to just put on headphones, or if you live in a private space, go into your bedroom or to your living room and turn the ragiest music you can find on the loudest volume you possibly can and just beat the living hell out of your mattress or your couch cushions and scream into a pillow and shake your body and punch something and just to move this energy that's stuck, to move those images out of our head, to not have this energy become stagnant and stuck in our bodies, because that's what happens. And then that energy wants to be met. So then we feed it with more images and with more of what's happening and what happened now. And oh my God, and this and that. And it's so, so hard. It really is so hard to find this balance. I am very clearly failing at it this week. I'll try to take care of myself better tomorrow. It's the end of the day already. I'm calling it. All I want for the rest of today is like a glass of wine on the couch. Okay, that's going to be it for me. But tomorrow I'm going to try to take care of myself better and do these things. that we meet ourselves with the rage, with the grief, with the sadness, with the pain, and we don't bypass ourselves because it's so easy to do, because it's not ours. Like, right, we're not the ones suffering. Like, what the hell? But if we don't move this energy out of our own systems, we're going to walk out into the world and we're going to infect the rest of the world with that. And we're not going to be of service from a good place. And when I say of service, I mean of service to the people suffering, but also of service to your family, of service in your day-to-day to do the things that you have to do to keep everything together, to put the fucking stroller in the fucking car without losing it. Like, we need to be able to do that. We need to be able to keep it together for our little ones, right? And it's really hard. It's really hard. And it's really hard to understand. I think whenever acts of violence like this happens, it also destabilizes us, because all of a sudden we're really faced with the reality of what this world is. That this world isn't as safe as we've hoped it would be. That this world isn't the butterfly and puppies and rainbows and ice creams on summer days kind of place that we want for ourselves and that we want for our children. Like, this place, this world is also a scary place. And living our lives with that knowing is heavy. I'm gonna take a little break because Bear just woke up. I'll be right back.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Okay, I am back. The more challenging part, or one of the challenging parts of recording podcasts with baby, is that whenever I pause to tend to him and then I get the chance to return to finish, I am always in a little bit of a shifted mindset. And yeah, 2 hours passed. Everybody's home now. We had dinner. Now Dennis has the baby and I'm here with you. But in this tiny little time frame that happened here, I got to sit around the dinner table with some candles lit and just listening to Leia talk about her day. She's a marvel, this little girl. So is Finn. I mean, they're both so, so beautiful. I mean, I'm their mother, so of course I think that. But really, I can't stop telling myself just how grateful I am that I have them here. And I think if anything, really appreciating the normalcy of our lives for as long as we have it is so important. That we stay anchored in gratitude for what is here, and that we keep our hearts open and filled with compassion for the people who don't have it the same way anymore. People whose normalcy was ripped from them. People who would do anything for this version of normal, for any version of normal. And I don't know what else to say other than pray. And for me, prayer in times like these, well, prayer overall, prayer for me is not something that happens in connection with any kind of organized religion, but maybe you have a way of praying that connects to that or to a faith. Pray. And if you do, you're already praying. But if you don't, and you feel like the idea of prayer is a little bit foreign or woo-woo or strange, I mean, taking a moment here now just to close your eyes and send love and compassion and protection to the people in this world who need it most. To the people you watch for a second as they pass by in your feed when you scroll. The people you hear about, the people you never met and most likely will never meet. The people who so desperately need our support right now. And when we don't know where to turn, when we don't know what to do, when we don't know how to be of service, how to make a change, we pray. We pray. We pray that they get to have this same normalcy that we get to enjoy in this moment. We pray for that to return soon. We pray for this madness to stop. We pray for the safety of all children everywhere. And that is that. Thank you for being here, for listening. Make sure you take good care of yourself, okay? Find a way to shake through or release anything that feels stagnant and built up so that you can continue to stay present and anchored in all of this. And thank you for being a good human. I know you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.